Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
And it is, and we are going through some of the testimony of this week in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell, taking a listen to very specific segments. Of course, you can listen to full courtroom audio here on the feed, but what we're about to listen to is the testimony of Dr. Angie Christensen, who testified earlier in the week against Lori Vallow Daybell. She's a forensic anthropologist. Take a listen.
Okay, we're back on the record on CR 22-211624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow, continuing the state's case in chief. The state can call its next witness.
Your Honor, the state will call Dr. Christensen, Angie Christensen.
All right, as we get started, I'll just have a preliminary question or two for the witness. Dr. Christensen, now that you've been sworn, let me ask you, have you reviewed, listened to, or in any way seen any of the testimony that's occurred in this trial since it started?
No, I have not.
Okay, thank you for that. With that in mind, I'll ask you to please make sure to sit forward and talk right into that microphone to make sure we pick up your voice on the recording. We're making a court record as well, so please make verbal responses to any questions you're asked, and please try to avoid talking at the same time as any attorney that's questioning you. So with those rules in mind, Ms. Smith, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you can do so.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Will you please introduce yourself to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury and then spell your last name?
My name is Angie Christensen, and Angie is spelled A-N-G-I. Christensen is C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N.
Okay. Now, ma'am, are you a doctor? So should I call you Dr. Christensen?
Yes, I have a PhD.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do for a living?
I am a forensic anthropologist at the FBI laboratory in Quantico, Virginia, where I've worked since 2004.
Okay. Ma'am, can you tell us about your educational background, please?
I have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a PhD, all in the area of anthropology.
Okay. And what is your educational background? For what schools?
My undergraduate was from the University of Washington, and both my master's and PhD from the University of Tennessee.
Okay. Do you hold any certificates?
Yes, I am certified by the American Board of Forensic Anthropology and the Forensic Anthropology Society of Europe.
And the Forensic Anthropology Society of Europe, how many people are allowed to be in that society?
I'm not aware of how many are certified in that society.
Okay. Just generally, what is anthropology?
Anthropology is a very broad science that includes the study of humans and humanity in any way. So human language, culture, biology is a very broad discipline.
Okay. Are you a forensic anthropologist, you said?
Yes.
What is forensic anthropology?
Forensic anthropology is a specialized area of anthropology that includes the examination and analysis of skeletal remains in forensic or death investigation contexts.
Okay. And that is your occupation at the FBI at Quantico?
Yes.
Okay. And just so that the jury's clear, what is the difference between forensic pathology and forensic anthropology?
They are related and complementary, but different disciplines. Forensic anthropology, as I mentioned, emphasizes analysis of the human skeleton specifically. And forensic anthropologists are not authorized to determine cause and manner of death or to make a positive identification.
So why would a medical examiner refer human remains or skeletal remains to a forensic anthropologist?
Typically, if they're wanting a more in-depth examination of any features of the skeleton specifically.
Okay. And so if a medical examiner wanted an in-depth analysis of skeletal remains, what sort of process, if there is a general process, would one go through in doing such an examination?
A forensic anthropology examination is pretty, it can be pretty varied and depends a lot on what exactly is submitted and what type of examination is being requested. But generally speaking, an examination will begin with a visual assessment of the bones, looking for which bones are present, their general condition, and things like that. That might then progress to things like looking at bones under a microscope, taking measurements, or taking x-rays.
Okay. Now, were you involved in a laboratory number, and I believe an FBI number, HQA3290279?
Yes, I was.
And was that your internal lab number, 2020-01332?
Yes, that's correct.
And that was referred to the FBI Quantico by the Ada County coroner?
Yes, they're the ones who made the request to the laboratory.
And they sent some human remains for their case number 200611.
Yes.
All right. And those photos have already been admitted, Your Honor, as the photos from the autopsy of Tylee Lyon. Are you aware that those remains have since been identified?
Yes.
Okay. And are you aware that those remains have since you looked at them been identified as Tylee Lyon?
I may have learned this information at some point in the investigation, but I don't recall specifically when.
In this specific case, specific process, what methods did you use?
Specifically in this case, I did that initial visual assessment. I did take some measurements of the bones. I looked at some of the items microscopically, and I took CT scans, which are a three-dimensional x-ray.
Do you have an idea of how many bone fragments you received from the Ada County coroner that turned out to be some of the remains of Tylee Lyon?
I don't recall the exact number, but somewhere in the ballpark of 100 or more.
Okay. Was there any decomposing tissue or any tissue with it?
Some of the skeletal remains or bones did have some soft tissue still attached.
And in your position as a forensic anthropologist, do you work with or analyze tissue?
Skeletal tissue is technically a tissue, but it is a hard tissue, and I do not work with soft tissue such as skin, muscle, and organs.
Okay. So let me ask if you know, if the remains you received were all from one single person, do you have any idea of what percentage of the body you received in terms of the skeletal remains?
Because of the condition of the remains in this case, which were fragmentary, I don't know the exact proportion, but all major parts of the skeleton were represented. So, for example, parts of the cranium, parts of the thorax, and parts of the arms and legs.
Okay. Turning to your specific analysis in this situation, let me ask that you be shown two exhibits for reference, States Exhibits 182A and 182B. both of which have previously been given to both defense counsel and the court. Thank you, sir. Ma'am, do you recognize these?
Yes.
Okay. What are they? And if you could, what is Exhibit 182A?
182A is a schematic or just a general depiction of a generalized human skeleton.
Okay. And what is one? It states Exhibit 182B.
182B is a portion of that same schematic focusing on the pelvic region.
Okay. And are both of those a fairly and accurately depiction of the general layout of the skeletal of human skeletal outline?
Of a general human skeletal outline, yes.
Okay. Move for the admission for State's Exhibit 182A and 182B.
Any objection?
No objection, Judge.
Exhibits 182A and 182B are admitted.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. We'll come to these in a minute. Now, ma'am, when you did the review of the remains that you were provided, let's just...
Your Honor, I'm sorry. I apologize, Ms. Smith. We're omitting these just for demonstrative evidence, right? They're not the actual skeletons of anybody that we know of.
I think it's an important distinction that they are, I would consider, demonstrative exhibits since they don't relate to any particular person in this case.
Thank you. I apologize.
Thank you, Judge. Yeah, no, that's no problem. If I neglected to say that, I apologize.
Very well.
Now, turning to the specific examination that you did, what were your general observations of the skeletal remains and remains you received?
The material I received was fragmentary in nature for the most part. There were many parts of the skeleton that were thermally altered or exposed to some sort of heat or burned. I also identified three bones with sharp trauma or alterations that were produced by a instrument or tool with a small surface area, such as a bevel or point.
Now, let's talk briefly. Was there any evidence that some of the bones were hinged or bent?
Yes, I believe there. Might I be able to refer to a copy of my notes?
Absolutely. If court judge, she provided the state, as she walked in, a copy of her notes that she might need to refresh her recollection. Maybe she'd be given those.
Yes.
I'm going to need to see those prior to.
Ma'am, if you need, there's water up there.
I appreciate it. I brought some too. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you. Yes. From my review, my report indicates at least one incidence of bone that was hinged or bent.
Okay. And does it indicate also that it was perimortem at the time?
Yes.
Okay. What does perimortem mean?
Perimortem means at or around the time of death. But it's important to make the distinction that forensic anthropologically, what we refer to as perimortem could extend into the postmortem period. And the reason for that is when we are looking at just the bones, and we're not looking at any of the soft tissues, all we can see is how the bone reacts to force. And the bone, if it stays in a what we call biomechanically fresh state, but basically just in a state that retains moisture and collagen and the things that make bone a bit flexible, if that's preserved well enough into part of the postmortem period, the bone reacts exactly the same way. So anthropologically, perimortem could be right at the time of death, but it could also be after the death event if the bone was still in that biomechanically fresh state.
And so when you talk about
That it could extend into the postmortem period.
Okay. So when you talk about biomechanically fresh state, what if a bone was subjected to extreme heat or subjected to and received thermal damage? Could that affect that process as well?
Yes, that would affect the biomechanical properties of bone, which would make it more brittle.
Okay. So turning to a discussion of was there any evidence that the bone received thermal damage?
Yes.
Okay. Now, just so that we're clear, what does thermal damage mean?
Thermal damage is an alteration to the bone caused by exposure to heat or fire.
Okay. How were you able to tell that some of the bones in this case had been subjected to heat or fire?
Burning does a number of things to bone. It changes the color. So bone is naturally a sort of creamy white color, and as it becomes burned, it turns tan and black and eventually white. It also, as I mentioned before, causes the bone to become more brittle, so it fractures more easily.
Now, in some of the bones, did you see evidence that there was a lot of thermal damage?
There were some areas that had more thermal alteration than others, yes.
Okay. And were there areas that had less thermal damage?
Yes. Some parts of the skeleton had less thermal alterations.
And what can account for that?
When the body burns, there is a typical pattern to the damage that occurs to the bones. And basically what happens is the areas of the skeleton that have less soft tissue protection or less other tissues covering them tend to be burned and exposed first. So the knees, the elbows, these areas with just a little bit of skin covering them. Other parts of the skeleton, like those within the torso, are better protected by a lot of tissue and organs and then tend to be altered last by the fire.
Okay. And did you take efforts to document the various findings you made?
Yes, my findings are in my report.
Okay, and did you take photographs?
Yes, the photographs appear in my examination notes.
All right. Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be shown State's Exhibit 181A through 181I. Courtesy copy has been given to both the court and the defense. Can you take a look at State's Exhibit 181A through I with that, and just take a look at them as a group? Do you recognize each of those?
Yes, these are photographs I took during my examination.
Okay. And these states exhibit 181A through I, are they all accurate copies of some of the photographs you took of the bones you examined of Tylee Ryan?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, we'll of course make an individual record, but at this time, for expediency's sake, I move for the admissions of state's exhibits 181A through 181I, and for the witness's use in explaining her testimony.
All right. Any objection to exhibits 181A through I?
May I voir dire and aid?
You may.
Doctor, some of these photographs have scale, and then some of them also have scale as well as numbers with arrows on them. Is that correct?
Yes.
And those numbers with arrows on them, those were put on after the photos were taken?
Yes, those were used to annotate the photos in order to demarcate and differentiate alterations that I observed on the bones.
Okay. I'm going to use a term that is probably not appropriate, but photoshopping, that you superimposed the numbers and the arrows, but you didn't do anything to the actual underlying photos.
That's correct.
Okay. 181D, I'm not sure. There's some photos, and then it looks like there may be something else there. Could you tell me what that is? The colored, the black with the yellow and green and red?
Yes, all of the images on Exhibit 181D depict screen captures of the CT scan or the 3D x-ray that I took in the laboratory. And that one that's different colors is just a different visualizing mechanism that I used within the CT scan software.
Okay. But you took screenshots of those, and that's based on your taking the CT scans.
Yes. So the CT scan is a 3D file, and what's on this page is a two-dimensional screen capture of a particular view of that 3D file.
And then if you turn to 181G. Okay, is 181G has three photographs on it, correct?
Yes.
And the bottom two, are those CT scans?
Yes, those are also 2D screen captures of a 3D CT scan.
Okay, and then the top one is just a photograph?
Correct.
Okay. And then 181I?
181I is a traditional two-dimensional X-ray.
Okay, so it's a radiograph?
Yes.
Okay, and did you do that yourself?
Yes.
Okay. You know, based on that foundation, I have no objection.
All right, thank you, Mr. Thomas. So exhibits 181A through I are all admitted.
Your Honor, I request permission to display these?
You may.
Okay. And we'll take them one at a time and ask the doctor to explain on the record what they are. But first, let me ask a quick question. You mentioned some thermal evidence of thermal damage. Did you see any evidence in any of the bones that you had of carnivore activity?
Yes, there was one bone that had marks on it that are consistent with what you see when carnivores scavenge or chew on bones.
And when you say carnivores, we're talking a dog, a cat, a
meat-eating animal, yes.
Okay. Let me show you what has been marked as 181A. Do you recognize 181A?
Yes.
What is it?
That is a photograph depicting portions of the left and right femur or thigh bones.
Okay. And when you say the left and right femur, why did you take these particular pictures?
I take pictures to document everything in my examination.
Okay. And you earlier referenced that you'd seen some activity of carnivore activity?
Yes.
Is that depicted in this photograph?
It is not. And in my notes, it indicates that this was noted on the trochanter, which is going to be on the backside of what's depicted here in this image.
Okay. So in the backside of this bone is where you found the carnivore activity?
Yes.
Okay. Now, for reference sake, maybe people's memory of anatomy is better than my own, so, but for reference state, let me show you State's Exhibit 182A. Do you have the laser pointer up there?
Yes.
Okay. Can you point to us where the bone you just referenced is?
The femur is the thigh bone, which is this bone here.
Okay. So State's Exhibit 181A is an image of both the right and the left femur, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you earlier referenced thermal damage to the bones, and that you could see discoloration, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me show you State's Exhibit 181B. What is 181B?
This is a photograph that I took depicting three parts of the skull.
And you mentioned thermal damage. Is there a way to show us what you mean by thermal damage in this image?
Yes. So on this bone here, which is the right side of the face and upper jawbone, this part where you see the blackened area is thermally altered from heat.
Okay. When you received the bones, had they been cleaned or was there dirt on them?
My understanding is that they had been partially cleaned at the medical examiner's office.
Okay. And did you take steps to further clean these bones?
Yes. In some cases where there was still some remaining soft tissue, I removed it in order to be able to examine the bone surface directly.
Okay. And why is that important?
Because if I'm looking for any alterations or damage to the skeleton, I can't see it visually through the soft tissue, so I remove the soft tissue to expose the bone surface.
Okay. And so in State's Exhibit 181B, we're seeing thermal damage, correct?
Yes.
Do you notice any other items of interest for your analysis?
There is also thermal alteration on this part of the upper jawbone and on this portion of the lower jawbone.
Okay. And again, you had mentioned to us that sometimes there's thermal damage in some of the bones and sometimes there's not. Is that, again, a situation where if a part of the bone is protected, it doesn't have the same level of damage?
Well, these parts of the skeleton are actually, the front part of the face is not very well protected. So it's possible this part wasn't exposed to the fire, but I can't account for all of the possible patterns.
Okay. But that front part of the face was not, did not show the same level or degree of burns that the rest, some of the other bones
That's
did.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, do you have experience in examining items and bones that have experienced or show evidence of trauma?
Yes.
Okay. What sort of trauma have you observed in bones, just generally?
Generally, the types of trauma on bone that can be categorized are blunt trauma, which is from something with a relatively large surface area moving at a relatively low speed. There's also sharp trauma, which is identified as trauma resulting from impact from an implement with a very small surface area, or such as a bevel or a point. Or high-velocity projectile trauma, which is trauma due to a small surface area object moving at a high rate of speed.
Okay. In the bones for Tylee Ryan, did you examine them for evidence of the trauma?
Yes.
Okay. And what sort of trauma, if any, did you observe?
On three of the bones, I identified sharp trauma.
Okay. Which three bones did you identify sharp trauma?
That was the left and right innominates, or hip bones, and the sacrum, which is the back of the pelvis or the bottom of the spine.
Okay. And for reference purposes, let me show you again State's Exhibit 182A. Can you point to us on the diagram that's up there on 182A and show us generally what you're talking about?
Yes. So these are the two hip bones. This is the right side and the left side. And the sacrum is the one right in the middle at the base of the spinal column.
Okay. And that's areas where you found evidence of sharp trauma?
Yes.
Something sharp, you know, a knife or a hatchet or something of the like caused injury in this area?
I can't identify the specific tool type, but it was something with a small surface area, such as a beveled edge or a point.
Okay. And a tool mark examiner would be the person who might try to identify what object would do that.
Yes. The procedure in my agency is the anthropologist identifies the location and general nature of sharp traumas, and that's then forwarded to our firearms and tool marks unit for additional analysis.
Okay. Now, let me show you just for reference, it states Exhibit 182B, which is a close-up of that area. Okay. Could you again point to us the area that where you saw the trauma?
Yes. So this is the right innominate or right hip bone and the left side and the sacrum in the middle.
Okay. Thank you. Now, did you document the injuries that you saw?
Yes, I documented the sharp alterations that I observed.
All right, let's start with your item 16. And let me show you State's Exhibit 181C. Do you recognize that?
Yes, that is a photograph that I took during my examination, annotated with numbered indicators of the sharp alterations.
And those annotations were put in there by whom?
I added those.
Okay. And I know you answered defense counsel's question, but since it's in front of us, why did you enter those annotations?
So just to make it clear in my documentation and report where these alterations were located, also because these two photographs are taken from two different views and numbering them helps to clarify that some of them can be visualized on both sides of the bone.
Okay. When you say visualized on both sides of the bone, that means the front side and the back side?
Yes.
Okay. And how many areas of sharp trauma did you identify?
On item 16, which is the left innominate, there were 5 sharp traumas.
Okay. Are these type of traumas consistent with something happening inside of her, like a disease or a natural process?
No.
Okay. Why not?
A disease process affects the bone in a much different way. So a disease might cause the bone to react or respond to that disease by, for example, depositing what we call woven or a very loosely organized bone that results in a weakened area of bone. A disease process might also affect an entire bone or the entire skeleton, for example, in a loss of bone density. In this case, what's seen are alterations to the bone from an external force with no evidence of that response or remodeling.
Okay. When you say an external force, something or someone penetrated and pierced this bone?
This was an external force imposed on the bone.
Now, have you had experience in looking at bodies that have been dismembered?
Yes.
Okay. Are there areas when a body is dismembered where you expect to see issues that are or injuries as evidence of dismemberment?
Typically, sharp traumas in dismemberment cases occur around joints.
So when you say around joints, what does that mean?
Around parts of the limbs and body that join together. So, for example, where the arms or legs or head meet the torso.
Okay. So the injury, the five sharp instrument injuries that we see in your item 16 on the exhibit before you, are these all evidence of dismemberment?
These would not be typical of dismemberment.
Okay. What are they typical of?
I can't say exactly what sort of action or implement caused them, but that some sort of external small surface area object impacted the bones.
So why do you say they are not consistent with an consistent with other injuries you've seen for dismemberment?
Because these do not appear, these aren't near joints. So typically dismemberment, the objective is to break the body into smaller portions, and that's why the joints tend to be targeted. In this case, all of these sharp traumas are in the area of the pelvic region.
So you said in the area of the pelvic region. So for reference, if I may, let's use State's Exhibit 182B again. Could you point to us what you're talking about?
So the sharp traumas were all found on the innominates, or the hip bones here, as well as part of the left side of the sacrum. And some of the sharp traumas can be visualized on both sides of the bone because it went all the way through. So it would be on the back side that you can't see here.
Okay. So it's more on the side that would be interior of the body and not exterior?
Yes.
Okay. You referenced earlier with defense counsel having taken x-rays and CT scans of item 16. Let me show you State's Exhibit 181D. Do you recognize it?
Yes, these are two-dimensional screen captures of a three-dimensional CT scan that I created of item 16.
Okay. And why did you do that?
Using CT scans helps to better visualize traumas or other features that might be useful for, in other cases, for identification purposes.
Okay. And do you see some of the sharp trauma items that you've discussed reflected in these CT scans?
Yes.
Can you point those out to us, please?
Yes. So some of them are, I don't know which numbers these are because this isn't an annotated one, but one example is here, another here, there's another here, and one here.
Okay. And what about the lower ones? Can you see them there?
This one does not visualize them very well. That setting didn't, but I do see sharp traumas here, here, another here, and another here.
Okay. The one lower, where in the body is the one that's lower, typically located?
Are you talking about this one right here?
Yes, ma'am.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
It's always chilling listening to this story and the testimony. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of it. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.